everybody, this is Chandler.
And this is Chris.
And this is Chris Britton.
And you're listening to
X-Reads the Podcast.
Everybody, we are back for episode 84 with, you heard it, special guest Chris Britton, the voice of Mr. Sinister. Thank you so much for being here, Chris.
My pleasure.
Oh my gosh, such a delight. So,
what an honor.
Yeah, not only is he the voice of Sinister, but he has roles in My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, which we love. We've had one of the creators of the show on this show.
Yes.
So Death Note, Carrie, but what I really want to talk about is Mutant X.
Oh yes, the TV series from 2001.
Yes, now you played just a one-off role on one episode, but it just is a current topic for me because I've been talking about Mutant X recently because it was kind of like our X-Men television show before there was any sort of X-Men live action show, and it just was not great. It was not a great show, but
maybe that's why I don't remember it.
Yeah, but it's nostalgic. It's nostalgic because it was like it was doing the best it could in 2001, and I appreciated it.
Yes,
I liked it too.
And yeah, I also saw that George Buzza, the voice of Beast, was also in the show.
Right.
And your character, you played a character named J.K. Bergman in the episode Sign from Above. So if everybody out there that wants to relive their Mutant X fantasies, go out, find that episode. You can see Mr. Chris Britton as J.K. Bergman. And you can Easter egg try to find George Buzza in there as well.
Sure. Yeah.
And I one more shout out about Mutant X. There is a Twitter account that has relaunched called Proxy Blue, and Proxy Blue was the virtual like gossip like blog in the show, and like had all the gossip on all the mutants. And so now there's a Twitter account out there, Proxy Blue, that is giving all the gossip of all the mutants at X-Men right now. And it's just funny how now here we are 12 years later or whatever, just like and we've got this kind of now resurfacing in people's memory. And you played a role in the show, and I just was like going through your credits, I was like, oh.
It's a coincidence you mentioned the Twitter account, because I just looked, a number of us are going to be at the Comic-Con in Grand Rapids, Michigan on November 11th, 12th, and 13th. And I was just looking on their website for that. And it had as a sort of as a contact sort of my Twitter account. And I went to my Twitter account and I have not put anything on that in about, 8 years. So I messaged the organizer of that and say, I'm just wondering whether you could, you know, perhaps put my website, chrisbritton.ca, on that. That would be a little more current. And, you know, I should have asked him also to put my Instagram account on there, which is FadeInCB. But anyway, yeah, Twitter, I have not been responding to. I forget about it pretty well.
Yeah, it's something you definitely have to, you know, manage, because it can get out of hand on Twitter. But yeah, no, we found something else about you that was really interesting.
Yes. So when I was doing some research, something that I wanted to bring up is the fact that I'm a huge Trekkie. I love Star Trek. And it turns out that you happen to be married to the wonderful actress who played, and correct me if I'm wrong, Star Trek fans,
Bator
in the Star Trek universe.
Yes.
So she has some awesome quotes like, that is not a threat, Captain, just an unfortunate truth. And so why be our enemy when you can be our friend?
That's right. Yes. Well, there was the Duras sisters. There was, my wife is Gwyneth Walsh, and she played Bator, and Barbara March, who sadly is no longer with us. She passed away about 3 years ago, I think, 4 years ago. She was Lursa. So there was Lursa and Bator in the series with Patrick Stewart, the Generations series. And then she also did the movie with Malcolm McDowell was in that. And,
Wow.
Yeah, so, I know. She, in fact, she was just at the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas a month ago, was it? Yeah, almost a month ago, yeah. She was just there for one day, and she's done a lot. Well, we've been to Europe and London, Star Trek conventions, but that's a great credit to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys come from two powerhouse kind of nerd industries between Star Trek and X-Men. So
Yeah.
what a marriage to find those two together. In
Yes.
fact, there are Star Trek X-Men comics out there. So maybe somewhere down the line, we can make some magic happen and bring those universes together.
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up to listeners is that I had the great fortune of meeting you over Zoom a while ago when we did a panel, which was a cast kind of reunion in remembrance of Norm Spencer. Norm Spencer was the voice of Cyclops in X-Men, the animated series, and he passed away in August of 2020. And yeah, so we did this Zoom thing, and you guys can go find it on YouTube if you want. It's called X-Men Cast Reunion in Remembrance of Norm Spencer. And it was a beautiful experience, and I was extremely humbled that Lenore Zan asked me to be the moderator of this because it was, first of all, you guys are all heroes to me. It's like amazing that I got to be on screen with so many of you at the same time. And then just to be remember Norm Spencer, who was just an incredible Cyclops. I went back and watched a number of your episodes from season two and three and whatnot from the animated series. And it was just great to watch him perform alongside you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a wonderful experience. So thank you so much for being part of that.
Yeah. I think in those days, a lot of the recordings, even though I don't remember them exactly, but there would be, two or three of us in the studio at the same time. And so there would be some interaction. That is becoming less now. I don't think. Well, there were a couple of sessions for My Little Pony. Then there were about half a dozen of us in one of the large studios recording our lines. But especially with COVID for the last 2.5 years, any studio recording is solo. But those were the good old days when we were recording the X-Men and the animated series, where we could be in a studio and see each other and say hello and hang out in the green room and sort of revisit each other and catch up.
Yes, so we're going to be covering this issue, which is all about Mr. Sinister and the Nasty Boys. And yeah, as I said, I went back, rewatched some of these episodes with you guys, and it was so much fun. The Nasty Boys, I don't know if you recall them or if they're in this new series, which you don't have to tell me, but they're the Sinister sidekicks, and they're so colorful and wacky and everything. And they are featured in this issue. So we picked this issue, which is X Factor 75, which we'll be doing in a little bit. And that is the first appearance of these Nasty Boys. So yeah, to get in the mood, Chris and I we listen to Janet Jackson's Nasty song, which she sings about Nasty Boys, which makes me feel like Peter
That's
David.
right. I never put that together. You're right.
Yeah, she has a song, All You Nasty Boys. And I'm gonna just throw it out there, Peter David, you were probably listening to Janet Jackson when you're writing the script, and he's like, "That's good. Oh yeah, that's good."
That's right. You never know. I especially remember the Nasty Boys in the episode where Sinister and the Nasty Boys kidnap they're on their honeymoon. The two figures that Sinister wants their DNA from, and they're on the island, and their boat comes up to shore, and the Nasty Boys come, and you really get a good flavor from the Nasty Boys in that one.
Absolutely. And the last time we saw Mr. Sinister in the 90s cartoon was your origin story, and you had a big, beefy episode with so much content.
Was
And
that Descent? Was that Descent, the
Descent.
last episode?
Yeah. And it was the second to last episode of the final season. So you could tell before the show got canceled, they were really trying to build up Sinister. So when they revealed at San Diego Comic-Con this summer that you are the primary villain, or Mr. Sinister is the primary villain of the new X-Men 97 cartoon, I had to go back and rewatch that final season because I was like, where did we leave off? It's been so long. And I saw that you're the penultimate episode, all about the origin of Mr. Sinister. So that was super exciting to see, like that all that connecting, that they really went back and thought, where did we leave off and where are we going to go? And here we go. Would they announce that you're in? I saw you in the behind the scenes footage during the panel that Boda Mayo presented. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have Chris Britton's contact information for that panel. I was like, I need to get him on the show.
Yeah, no, that's I will say is my favorite episode, because you would never think that's who he was from when you see him in the end of the first, or certainly the second episode. That was really an interesting episode with Charles Darwin and you know all that, and how he transforms and the reasons why, and he wants to cure his wife and all that. You know, it brings a whole other dimension to him. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Well, indeed, we can't wait to see Sinister's grand return in X-Men 97, slated to come out towards the end of 2023. We don't have a release date yet, but we've been told it's fall of 2023. So we are waiting with bated breath.
Yes, it's hit so far.
Yeah, it does. It's like a year from now. You think, wow, that's a long time from now.
Yes. Well, and congrats on season two pickup, by the way.
Yeah.
They also announced that we've got more episodes coming that we can anticipate. So as, you know, major X-Men fans here, we are thrilled.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's remarkable, really, that a number of us are returning doing the same voice after 30 years. It's terrific, really. And it's great for the fans, I think. You know,
oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. And we are so excited because, listeners, you're going to be hearing Chris do some lines, select lines of Sinister in the book. So we'll be get to hear Sinister in X-Factor number 75. So stay tuned. All right. Before we get into it, we always set the era. This book came out in February of 1992. What was the top film, Chris?
The top film was Wayne's World, Party Time, excellent.
Yes, what a movie. I mean, oh, could I watch that movie like more than 100 times in 92? I don't know. Like,
I was probably at 222.
Wow.
Yeah, on repeat. Yeah. What about you, Chris? Have you seen Wayne's World?
Oh, well, I think when it came out, but that's really a throwback for me. I don't think I've seen it since it came out. And of course, you know, who are the members of the cast of that again?
Mike Myers plays Myers, Wayne, yes. And Dana Carvey plays Garth.
That's correct. And I believe Tia Carrera.
Yes, she plays the romantic, you know, she's the lead guitar singer in that band that Wayne falls in love with.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And is it Alice Cooper? I think Alice Cooper is in it. And that's where they do the, "We're not worthy."
Yes. We're not worthy.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, some of those images and some of the music, the tunes, you know, you always remember them. Somehow it had a real hook to it, visually and musically, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of music with hooks, the top song.
Oh, yes, the top song of February 1992 was I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred.
Yeah.
More iconic song.
It's,
I don't remember how. I mean, there's no song. It's just I'm too sexy for this hat.
Too sexy for this hat.
What'd you think about that? I'm a model.
You know what I mean?
Okay, we don't need to talk.
Yeah, my wife and I were driving in the car just the other day, and they played a clip of that. You know, just and we were laughing about it because of the context, which I forget. But that's that is a classic. Certainly, there's another hook of that line. You know, it's great.
They made it into pop culture history with that song, right? Yeah, Fred, so
absolutely.
Anyway, so yeah, 92.
There was a lot of pop culture moments. And back then, we celebrated TV milestones a lot.
Yes.
And in February of 1992, we celebrated the 100th episode of the show Cops.
Yes.
Bad Boys.
Yeah, 100 episodes by 92. Like Cops, you know, for those who might be of the younger age might not know that Cops was like a live body cam, car cam cop show.
Yeah.
So it's like true crime from the cop perspective.
Yeah. And now all that has become quite standard, those the reality shows. That show was sort of, you know, one of the first of its kind, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, if you imagine 92, they had 100 episodes already. So, you know, they were obviously in the 80s making this show well before Real World and all the kind of early reality shows. So,
yeah.
You know, I remember when I was a kid watching Cops, it was always with when I was being babysat by my cousins and my aunts and stuff like that. And I feel as if they were looking at that show as if it were The Bachelor, because they always wanted to see the, you know, attractive cops and be like, oh, that's the one I would marry, you know. So it was before The Bachelor came out. So, you know,
I guess so.
Thanks, Cops.
Right. Yeah.
Another cultural milestone. Christy Yamaguchi won the U.S. Olympic gold medal in figure skating. And so I was a big figure skating, you know, kind of like fan. It's like Michelle Kwan and Christy Yamaguchi, of these superstars figure skaters. Yeah. They were superheroes to me. I mean, the way they could move on the ice, amazing.
Yeah, I can't even stand up. I'm always amazed by that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I think I still watch the Olympics and the figure skating, and also the pairs. I used to love watching the pairs of the
Olympics. Oh yeah,
yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Yes, I know.
Okay, and in February of 1992, we have a celebrity birth, and this one this month is going to be the guy who starred in the Twilight films as Jacob. His name is Taylor Lautner.
Yes. Happy birthday, Taylor.
Happy birthday. He was also in Spy Kids.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes.
And also to cap off our 1992 recap, there was a recent meme out in the internet world celebrating everything that happened in 92 with incredibly strong female fictional characters. So we got Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. In 92, we got the animated series X-Men, also premiered in 92.
Yeah, with Storm and GP.
Yeah, and then of course your favorite,
the Pink Power Ranger.
Pink Power Ranger, all in 92. So it's like, what icons?
Yes, all my favorites.
Anyway, I know, right? Quite the year. All right, let's get into this. This is X Factor 75.
Published in February of 1992.
Written by Peter David.
Art by Larry Straumann.
Entitled The Nasty Boys. Ooh, and on the cover, we have the X Factor team battling the Nasty Boys and a glooming kind of Mr. Sinister head in the background.
Yes, and by the titling, we see in big lettering 75th, not once, but twice.
That's true.
This was a hook for me, because when I saw something like that on the cover, it was like, oh, this is a milestone. I got to get this issue.
Yeah. Yeah, the red eyes of Mr. Sinister. Yeah.
Yes, and it says, and now Mr. Sinister and the Nasty Boys. It's very much like a band.
So this was originally published in what year? Sorry?
In 92.
In 92. Huh. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Not the origin of Sinister, but this is the first appearance of the Nasty Boys.
That's right. Yes, the Nasty Boys. Right. Yeah, wonderful illustrations.
Yes, the art throughout the book on the cover, I really love it. It's quite avant-garde at times, quite comic booky at times, of course, but I really enjoyed the art by Larry. And on our first inside cover, we have our very first ad alert. Now, Chris, we like to talk about the ads in the issue because they are of an era. Yes. And yes, they are definitely, this one in particular is a video game ad for Nightshade.
Dude, some moonlighting is a crime fighter. Night falls like a black shroud over Metro City. And the ancient Egyptian villain, Sutek, does it get that right?
Sutek.
Sutek goes to work. And so do you. For you are the mysterious unknown hero who lurks in the corners, melts into the shadows, and rules the darkness. You are Nightshade for the NES.
Ooh, yes, the original Nintendo Entertainment System. I was a proud owner of one of those.
Oh, me too.
I don't know the character Nightshade.
Never heard of Nightshade. Like a Dick Tracy type. Almost like a Batman type.
Yes.
A silver shroud for anybody who likes to play Fallout, the video game.
And I see there's an Anubis in the moon.
Oh, very mysterious.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I don't know. Were you much of a gamer, Chris? Would you say that you played?
No, I never have. I've never played one of a video game.
Well, they're so different nowadays. They are the most immersive, interactive, incredible things to experience. This era, because it was of an era where I was growing up and I was very influenced by these video games, but they're great storytelling, I will say. No matter what, I think video games are fantastic on their own level of creativity.
Yeah. The only game I will say, and I remember an actor who I was doing a theater show with in Toronto. This was probably in the early 80s. On our lunch break, we would go to this restaurant and we would play Frogger.
Oh, wow. we like Frogger.
Yes. We talked about Frogger on this show.
We talked about Frogger
a few times.
Yes. Yeah, we loved playing Frogger during the lunch break. Yeah.
Yes. It's quite a difficult game, I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's get into this issue.
Yes, the Nasty Boys.
The Nasty Boys. We open and we see there's a television set with a red, probably tomato being thrown at it with a giant splat.
Oh, yeah, this is a nasty place because there's junk everywhere.
Ooh.
There's Chinese food. There's, it looks like rap magazines and it looks like a very sexy swimsuit edition there.
Yes, some sort of adult magazines. Headphones. Oh, I see. It is very disorderly.
Yes. Why a stop sign?
I mean, like, they stole it. They're breaking law. It was illegal to steal signs. And yeah. I don't know what this candy that says fuddy. I'm very curious what that would be.
Yeah, and there's a fountain pen.
Yes. Yes. And we hear bullseye as the tomato splotches over Strong Guy's face on the tube. It's a kind of a court hearing that we're getting a recap that he's being released after being arrested because he, I guess, was causing something in a prior issue, which we have not read, but we're presuming that he caused some trouble, got arrested. Now he's being released because he's actually a government employee. X-Factor is a team that is run by the government. So they are sanctioned to do their superheroic job when they need to.
Right.
Ooh, and then we get like a picture of these nasty boys and we get to see a Slab. He's the one sitting down on the beanbag chair with the tomatoes. Gorgeous George is the purpley one that has kind of got stretchy powers. He's kind of liquid metallic vibe.
Kind of looks like a metally gargoyle character.
Yes, with long purple hair. I always liked his design. And then Hairbag is the kind of gorilla like one that is sitting on a turned over or on the couch itself.
He looks like he needs to get groomed.
Yeah, they're quite scary illustrations, these figures. They're really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they, you know, they're comrades, but they're also at each other's throats. You know, they don't like to be insulted. They don't want to take any crap from anybody. And yeah, Hairbag and Slab begin to an argument. But Gorgeous George is like, Slab, Hairbag, be quiet. We're about to have company. And we see some footsteps coming down the steps. And we get to see our majestic Mr. Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Looking very fit.
Yes. And the cape is quite something. He, you know, Sinister loves a cape. And this one is full as can be.
Yes, in his stance, it's just so majestic and confident and regal. He rules.
He does. He's the leader of the Nasty Boys, or the leader of all of them, I guess. And yeah, he comes down. He's got a few choice words to say about the condition of the room and how these his team members or his nasty boys are taking care of their headquarters. And he is looking for Ruckus and Ramrod. I will say that Ramrod did not appear in the animated series. He was left off the roster. So if anybody goes back to watch, you will see Ruckus, you'll see Slab, Hairbag, and Gorgeous George, but you will not see Ramrod. And then on the next page, we have our next ad alert. Okay, so Beetlejuice was so much fun.
Yes, Beetlejuice was one of my series that was kind of forbidden from my house because Beetlejuice was too demonic, but I would sneak it anyway, and it was a lot of fun. But this guy, you know, he's creepy and he's got green, smelly teeth and he's holding a Game Boy. It says, "Want to play a great game, boy? It's your pal Beetlejuice here to bamboozle those bewitchers from the netherworld vacationing at lovely Lydia's place. The house is haunted. Flying cups and saucers and clothes that spring to life cause quite a panic, especially when they're coming for you. It's a horrific five-level challenge to spook attic ghastlies, rattle angry skeletons, and scare ghostly bats. Vampires may even join you for a bite to eat. Maybe we should skip lunch today. These netherworld ghoul-o-ramas are no match for us. Has the ghost with the most ever let you down?
Now,
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, this is the animated series Beetlejuice. I don't know if you've ever voiced a role on the Beetlejuice animated series, but I remember that was a big hit when I was a kid.
No, I never did. Right. Yes, certainly that illustration is familiar.
Yes. Are you familiar with the film itself,
Oh
Beetlejuice?
yeah. Yeah. No, that was a brilliant performance by Michael Keaton. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, Michael Keaton, yeah, was Beetlejuice, and he was amazing. And Gina Davis and Alan Baldwin, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, no, he was Keaton was fabulous in that.
Yes, we just talked about Catherine O'Hara in
Oh,
this
I
movie
know we
too.
did. Yes.
Catherine O'Hara plays the mother. You know, that gets
Oh.
possessed and does the whole Harry Belafonte song at the dinner table. And oh gosh, a great movie.
Oh, so
Like,
good. I think they're coming out with a sequel now, too.
oh, why not? You know, everything old is new again, and the 90s nostalgia is riding high.
Oh,
So,
yes.
well, continuing on with our story now. Chris, what's your opinion on these nasty boys? Which ones, you know, are you kind of attracted to that you're interested in? Which ones would you not want to cross paths with?
Oh man, this is a tough one. I don't want to
Well, it
cross paths
is.
with any of them.
No.
Yeah,
No, what about you, Chris?
they all have their frightening elements to them, even though Mr. Sinister is not frightened of any of them. But yeah, I think on a personal basis, you know, sort of the large beefy guys are I think now is the person who shouts, is that
Ruckus. Ruckus is
Ruckus?
not on the page yet. We're gonna
Yes, that's
see him
right.
very soon, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I really can't make that decision this early in the comic.
Okay, well, we can continue on.
we'll dive deeper.
Yes, on the television, we get to see Senator Safran with some tomato still on the screen, and Sinister remarks how it's an intriguing improvement. And the senator says, "I intend to make clear on behalf of the American people that they're not going to stand by while mutants, Geechees, or whatever they choose to call themselves, run rampant through the streets, especially when these rampages are sanctioned by the government, supported by tax dollars, dollars that could very well be funding some secret, sinister agenda." Yes, Sinister, he likes that. He said, "There's now. There's a good soundbite."
The Geechees.
I don't know this term, Geechees, and it said a couple times in the. I guess that's what they try to rename the term mutant and reclaim it with a different
Or
thing.
maybe it's a nickname that they gave themselves.
Maybe, but
That's a good name, though, Geechees. I mean,
Geechees.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
And then we end up with the team, the X Factor team. Most of this issue we happen to be with the Nasty Boys and stuff, which is really fun. So there's very little appearances by the actual X Factor team, but Val Cooper, who's the leader, is kind of, you know, scolding strong guy wants to walk off. He's tired of this, he doesn't want to be a part of it. And Alex Summers, Havoc, he tells him how he can't leave because that would be playing into what the enemy wants.
Right. Yeah.
I just love how Strong Guy was so upset that when he got arrested and fingerprinted, they took away his Gucci belt.
Poor Strong Guy. Don't never steal somebody's Gucci belt.
No, definitely not.
Then we find ourselves in a convenience store. And we learned that Ruckus and Ramrod, they're on a beer run because, you know, the headquarters is running low on beer.
When I first saw them, I was like, wow, this, what, the Sailor Moon villain?
Yes, very Sailor Moon villain, which I love.
Well, I think it's great.
I learned that Ruckus's pink hair, so Ruckus, for those of you listening that don't know, Ruckus is the one with very long pink hair that you might have seen in the animated series, or if you catch him in a comic, he wears very, like, a pirate jacket that's purple and yellow. But I learned that the pink hair is dyed, so he likes to color his hair pink.
Oh,
right. It's natural.
Right. And a beer run, that, you know, that's interesting. I mean, of all the, I thought they would have some sort of special elixir, but a beer run seems, you know, it's a nice touch, really.
Yes, of course. It brings it back down to earth.
Yes, it does.
They just want some brews, some cans.
That's
and
right.
They're planning just to walk right out of this store.
Yeah. Do you think they would get buds, you know?
Yeah.
Bud Lights.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what beer brand do you picture the Nasty Boys?
That's right. Yeah. Sam Adams.
Sam, maybe. Well, that's a little, you know, that might be too political. We'll see. What do you think on?
Oh, I was going to say Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, Pabst. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, there. I think those are all great choices. Maybe I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're more the beer connoisseur.
No, I would not call myself a beer connoisseur. I mean, I know different night, but these guys wouldn't be drinking the fancy beers.
No.
They're like Miller Lite or something like Coors Light. I feel like Coors, yes. Anyways,
yeah.
Either way, this is the kind of brand that I believe that they're going for, these Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
So they're not planning on paying for this.
Oh, no, they're not. And that store clerk knows it. Mm-hmm. He is desperately going click, 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 click on the little emergency button underneath the cash register.
Yes.
And it's like ting, 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 ting. You just hear that emergency bell going off.
Yes. So what I found really interesting, which we're about to find out, is that Ruckus's powers in the comics are much different than they were in the animated series, and probably to keep it simple on the show versus in the comic, which you can kind of over explain things. But so we get a little demonstration of these Nasty Boys' powers. Ramrod, who I guess can form a rod of wood for himself.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Oh, you know what? Actually,
I thought it was beef jerky.
Yes. You know, it's actually, so it's not that he can form wood out of nothing, is he can control all wood. And so he had a wood stick, and then you see the powers that it grows into a long club so that he can whack the cashier with it.
But with, looks like spikes or nails.
Yes, definitely. It looks gruesome.
Yeah, that's a weapon for sure.
And the police show up, and there's a loud clanging noise. Like, maybe it's this alarm or whatnot. Something's making this noise. And we learn that Ruckus can take any noise and then amplify it.
Yes.
So rather than, like, through his mouth, so I don't know how this works, but rather than screaming like he does in the animated series, which is like a banshee kind of scream, he takes the sound that's happening, processes it through his superpowers, and then throws it out at whatever supersonic loud levels.
It's like if Banshee and the Dazzler kind of did a mashup of their powers in a sort of way.
Maybe, yes, because Dazzler can absorb sound. So yes, I feel that.
All right. Okay. And then, you know, it definitely has the look.
Yeah, and the Klang illustrations are quite terrific.
Yes, the onomatopoeias here are really jumping out because I think they really want to point out that these are loud noises happening, and then you know, he makes it even louder because it takes up half the page or half the panel is loud clang.
Yeah, but then it even gets even bigger. Clang, 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 clang.
Oh my gosh, it makes their nose bleed and their ears bleed. Ooh, that's nasty.
Well, they are the nasty boys, so living up to their name. Those poor police officers.
Yes.
They're just doing their job. All over some Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I know.
No?
Yeah.
Or what was your beer?
I said Coors Light, still, you know, the point is.
Coors Light.
They take out these police officers, and they say, now go back and get the beer, Einstein.
Right.
You know, the other guy with the black hair?
Yes, Ramrod.
He kind of reminds me like he could be related to Callisto.
Yeah.
You know?
He has more luck vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we are back with the X-Factor team. And we get an appearance by one of my favorite characters, Moira McTaggart.
Yes. She's giving her analysis on a prior storyline that's going on with Multiple Man, Jamie Madrox. Apparently, as he duplicates himself, one of the duplicates is taking over his personality and he's not able to absorb him. And it becomes quite an ordeal that they deal with in the team overall.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird dilemma. Like, if one duplicate doesn't want to merge, do you force them to? Like, do they have their own free will at that point?
Well, in the incredible X-Factor investigations, which Peter David, the author of this book, takes a break, he comes back, he relaunches X-Factor comics, and it's called X-Factor Investigations, and they deal a lot with that, about how Jamie made duplicates of himself to go out and live their life, and one like becomes like a pastor, and one becomes a scientist, and he basically... his intention was to let them go live giant lives all separate from him. And then when he absorbs them back, he gets all their memories, all the knowledge, everything that they've learned. So he wanted everybody to go out and do their research. And so he becomes super smart and knowledgeable and capable. Or like if they train in Kung Fu, he then can absorb that duplicate and then know Kung Fu. Mm-hmm. So it's quite interesting power dynamic with this Multiple Man. So anyways, we get to see that we're jumping ahead to where they're talking to who they think is the primary Jamie Madrox. He's the one in the suit. And then the one that's kind of restrained, that has this head piece on with the X on the forehead, they think that this is the duplicate that is causing a ruckus. not to double up on words, but and then we see that this more suited one absorbs the seated one, and us as readers know that he is not the real one and he just absorbed the real one into him. And so it's a little dun 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 moment.
Dun dun dun.
But we're not here for X-Factor, we're here for Sinister. So let's get to Sinister. Jamie goes outside. He sees that in the car is Sinister, and we realize that they are working together. They are in cahoots. And then we get to see some of the nasty boys. They are welcoming this dupe of Jamie to the team. And then Sinister also has the senator that is trying to become president and take down mutant kind, and Sinister feels like this is part of it. Just recapping really quick, because I want to get to these Sinister lines. And we get an introduction to the Nasty Boys, which we've already gone over, and the senator is just learning all about how he is kind of in cahoots with these these bad guys, and then he leaves. And then we get a confrontation between Sinister and Ruckus, and this is one of our first Sinister moments. So Ruckus, he says, I still don't see why you cooperate with that guy. He must be paying you plenty. And Sinister's like, indeed, what's your point? He's like, my point is, when do we get our cut?
What you will get, Ruckus, is in line. You may be the leader of the Nasty Boys, but I am your leader. Do not forget that. Or what I can do to you, or those you hold dear, if you continue in this arrogant course.
That was wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah, so Sinister, he lays it down. He just smacks Ruckus across the room. He flies into Gorgeous George, and he basically claims the kingdom, so to speak, and be like, this is my team. Like, you guys don't get to talk back to me. Madrox excuses himself, and I guess he's got a headache. Then there is a side scene with somebody in mech armor from a side story that I'm not familiar with. And we get to see Polaris and Wolfsbane have a talk, because I guess Wolfsbane's been hitting on Alex Havok, and Polaris, being his girlfriend, does not like that.
Team drama.
And Chris, let's just read these girls. I'm going to start with Lorna at the top. You remember Alex, the guy whose bedroom you sneaked into the other night?
I don't know what you're talking about. And frankly, Lorna, between just us girls, sounds to me like you're a wee bit jealous.
Jealous? She's got the dripping word bubble. Jealous? Look, kiddo, you've been acting weird ever since you blew back from Genosha. You better tell me what's up with you.
I didn't have to do anything. And kindly drop the kiddo. I'm only 8 years younger than ye. And that does it.
And then they get cut off because the team walks in. They go like, hi, we're back. Miss us. But anyways, we love team drama. We love girl fights.
I love Polaris's hair. The artist with her hair. It's gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. It's very, really wonderful how some of these line work, the hair flows way longer than it actually is to fill up the panel, and all of the there's a lot of line work in this issue that's beautiful. So Larry Stroman, thank you very much. Clap, clap, clap. The next scene, we get to see that Madrox, multiple man, he is not feeling well, and he starts just screaming, "Oh no, 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 stop!" And he's like, it's not fair, stop it, you had your chance already, now go away. We see that his body is starting to spiral in on itself.
Ew, like it's eating itself.
Yes. And what should happen, of course, is that everybody's gathering and saying, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? And like, guys, move it, come on in. And Madrox is bleeding. He's just like, please, I didn't do anything that wrong. That wasn't so much to ask. Please, please just let me. And he goes, pop, pop.
No, you idiot. Dupes may be identical, but there's only one genuine original, except no substitutes.
Oh, yes. And then we get our Jamie Madrox. He is back.
Multiple man. Get up!
He goes, multiple man, doing a things a multiple can. Yeah, he was always kind of the joker. And so, yeah, he is... displaying some power. He's fighting the Nasty Boys. He's trying to escape, and he gets away, but Sinister allows it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Right. So, multiple men, he gets away. Sinister allows it because he wants him to run to the Senator, because he knows their trickery, what they're going to do, how they're going to frame the Senator, and how they're going to stage this crime. But he wants him to go there because that's like the plan all along. Cause you know, he's Sinister. He knows he plans for these sort of things. Mm-hmm. What's a Sinister trait, Mr. Brent, that you find yourself drawn to?
Well, he can't age.
That's a good one.
Yes. And also, you know, his regenerative abilities. Mm-hmm. You know, and just you know, his strength of character, I think. His sort of he knows who he is, what he's capable of, and he doesn't suffer from you know, sort of lack of confidence. Those are good traits. Plus, his ability to, harm other enemies with his, sort of laser bolts and
mm-hmm.
all those things. But, he's not someone who could be killed. And hence his longevity.
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he is definitely a character that I have admired for a long time because of his unflinching ability to be himself. He's yep. not playing to any room. He doesn't care what people think about him. He is just, he's on his agenda and he is seeing it through.
There is no shyness there.
No.
He lives out loud.
No, yeah, exactly.
Lives out loud. That's a good one.
Lives out loud. Yes. So anyways, the nasty boys are like, what are you up to? And he says, I, my dear nasty boys, will be dealing with the matter in another way. And we see this big glowing energy and light around him as he potentially disappears. But we don't know, because then we cut to a crowd scene. And oh my gosh, there's a big whoosh going
Whoa,
on.
Whoa, hey, what the heck moves that fast?
It must have been Federal Express or Domino's.
Yeah.
I love crowd scenes.
This is a great little panel with all these people we will never see it again in our lives.
Right.
But the woman who's carrying a Lacey's bag, I'm assuming that's for Macy's.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. What else do you see, Chandler?
Well, they first of all, they look like so happy. These crowd people. They're just like, ha ha ha, like touching their chest, like, oh, this is so great. I guess money is flying everywhere. Somebody's, oh no, is her necklace falling apart? I don't know. Something's going on where there's like gold things flying in the air.
Oh yeah. And I don't know why, but there's a cameo by the Riddler in the back.
Oh yes.
From the Batman universe.
Oh, I see. Yes. Is this a Stan Lee cameo? This person with the blue shades.
Oh, and the glasses. Yes. Lurking in the back.
And the hat looks like a spaceship.
Yes. And yes, the person that says it's a Federal Express or Domino's, they've got a very large trench coat. But I love when artists go all in on these crowd scenes where yes. they're just like, everybody gets a personality, they get an amazing haircut. We have this woman in a pink polka dot shirt and a big 80s like shoulder pad blazer. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Quicksilver. Quicksilver, of course, is the speedster on the team, and he's running past the crowd. He's got Wolfsbane in his arms, and they're doing a reconnaissance search. They are trying to sniff out where Madrox went. So basically, they are looking for him. So that Rain, or a Wolfsbane, but she's using her smelling powers to find multiple man.
I don't know why, but I think that's Kenny G with the headset.
Oh, yeah. I think that's supposed to be Val. I don't know.
Oh, is it?
I think it's supposed to be Val Cooper.
Oh, okay.
By the way, X-Men 97 news, Val Cooper was announced to be in the cast as well. So,
oh, awesome.
Yes. So, Val Cooper doesn't really have a lot to do in this issue, so we're not dwelling on her, but it's just quite exciting to have her be a part of the show, which makes me feel like X-Factor might have a bit of a role. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not asking for spoilers from Mr. Britton, because we know that you are under lock and key.
Well, I haven't read every script, so I'm grateful that I really can't reveal very much, So I will be surprised at when it's released as well, in many of the episodes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this is just a technical question. When you get scripts, do they give you the full episode, or do you only get your moments because they're trying to
sometimes.
Keep it secret? Okay.
Sometimes, but not always.
Okay. Yeah, so I was going to say, that's definitely a way to keep you in the dark. It's just like, read these lines with no context. Good luck, here you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then sometimes if you read the whole script, you perhaps haven't read the previous one. So you're a bit in the dark. And then, if you haven't been sort of involved with it, you forget, because there isn't that connection to it. So, you skim through it and you see what other characters are doing. But there's very little I can reveal.
Of
If
course.
I did, it would be pain of death.
Yes. We don't want that. No, we want you to live forever, just like Mr. Sinister. So
Right, right.
we find ourselves in Washington, D.C. We're at the White House. We see Jamie Madrox doing exactly what he Sinister expected him to do, which is run straight to the Capitol to talk to the senator
Yeah,
that's under
but
fire.
he is making himself into very many multiple men here.
Yes, because he's taking on the nasty boys who are flying in this, like, I don't know where they get these little spaceships that they like zoom in on. I think he said later that they stole the Fantastic Car from the Fantastic Four building.
Oh, so now they have their little transportation AirPods.
Yes, their toy line figures. Yeah, so we see a big battle, outside. We've got multiple men taking on all the nasty boys as a one-man army, as we know he can do. And inside the Capitol, we have Senator Schaffron giving a big speech. He says, "Gentlemen, I am here to lodge a formal protest to the President of the United States. He is in the process of wasting tax dollars to support activities of dangerous, unstable, genetically challenged individuals, also known as mutants. While squads of renegade Geechees wander the land, the president has created a task force of these untrustworthy individuals. This, gentlemen, is a danger to the American people, sanctioned by the highest office in the land."
Wow, we knew this was coming. Chevron's got his eye on the next election and he's launching his first salvo. You're not kidding, say. Do you hear some sort of noise outside? Because I guess, these guys behind him are whispering because they know what the tea is.
Yeah, the tease. He's going for the
Oh,
presidency. He's
yeah.
trying to wrangle the American public behind him in this anti-mutant hysteria.
But they did allude to a noise outside, and boy, howdy, there's a lot of ruckus going on.
Oh, yes. Ruck, that word ruckus again. It keeps coming back up. But yes, we see more a battle ensuing. We see Ramrod using his wood powers to have roots grow out of the ground and entangle Quicksilver so he can't move anymore.
You know what? That is rude. That's like a million splinters. That would be the worst. I would be like, please hit me over the head with one wonk. Please don't give me 1,000 splinters.
Yes, no kidding. Oh, that sounds like, yes, pain of death by splinters. Yikes. Yeah, this is where we learn where you get the cars, is that the X Factor, they join in. Gorgeous George, he says, "Would have been here sooner, but we hadn't finished painting our logo over the big number four that used to be on our flying car." So they stole the fantastic car. More battle ensues. We get all sorts of amazing art by Larry Stroman as these characters are fighting it out. Wolfsbane versus Hairbag, Gorgeous George versus Strong Guy, and we've got Slab versus Havoc.
Seems kind of evenly matched.
Yes, and then we see that Ruckus does his superpower thing again, which is really interesting. Lorna or Polaris, she's like, "A firecracker? You think you could stop me with a firecracker?" But then he uses the noise of the firecracker to augment it to the to a big crack as he screams it out at her and knocks her over. Yeah, and then we learn what the power is. She thinks to herself, "He amplified the sound 1,000 times. Got to knock him back with magnetic force, and then swallow a bottle of Tylenol."
Yep.
Go-to thing for headaches.
Yes. So then we find out the big sinister plan was is that he's impersonating the senator, and he reveals in front of the public that he too is a mutant,
Dun, dun,
and
dun.
he displays all these powers and et cetera.
Right.
Yes, and flies away, dun dun dun. And then as
Look out, America. I'm coming to spread the word.
yes.
Krabam! Right through the roof.
And then Sinister then teleports himself back into the senator's office, and the senator's like, "Oh my God, you betrayed me. What were you doing out there? Now everybody thinks I'm a mutant." Yeah, so Sinister, does he hand him a gun? I guess he hands him a
He hands him a
gun.
gun.
Yes. And then, oh, maybe to, like, I don't know, shoot himself rather than shoot Sinister, because he tries to, of course, turn it on Sinister with a pow. He says, "You deceitful, lousy," but then the bullet ricochets right off of Sinister's body and hits the senator in the head.
Ding. I guess it's a metal cape. So.
I guess so. Ooh. And then he stands foreboding over the dead senator, and what does he say?
You think I'm formidable? Then you think correctly, my friend. For when it comes to the domination of our kind, and of all the destruction of all those who ever bore the name X-Men, no one compares to Mr. Sinister.
Yes, bravo. All right. So this is the best. This is what we love so much about having you guys on the show is we get awesome dialogue straight from the comics right out of your mouth. So, yes.
It's fun.
And then the issue ends with Havok on the TV. What does he
Yes,
say?
it is actually a throwback to earlier in the issue when we saw the tomato on the screen. This isn't tomato anymore, though, Chandler. It's blood.
Ew.
And on the screen, Havok says, "I'm afraid this will have to be brief. As I've just been informed, we have to leave immediately for the country of Trans Sabal. But I just want the American public to know that they are in no danger from X Factor. We've seen by the events today that more often than not, detractors of G Keys have their own hidden agenda. We were fortunate enough today to root out Senator Schaffrans and will be hunting down the rest of his supporters, the so-called nasty boys, and their leader. One of our people, Multiple Man, says he can give us a complete description of the man that the nasty boys simply call Mr. S. We will bring him in." What else does he say?
He says X Factor's job will be to serve and protect the American people and to go wherever we're needed. Quite simply, ladies and gentlemen, we care, and you have my blood oath on that. Thank you. That's all. And we see the blood dripping down the screen from the senator's gunshot wound.
Yes, and click. I'm assuming that's a television turning off.
Yes. Wow, what an issue.
No remote back then.
No,
Maybe, I'm not
you
too
had to
sure. I can't
physically turn
remember.
it off. Oh, but we have this gorgeous double spread like celebration in the back of the issue. This
Yes.
is
In
beautiful.
honor of the 75th.
Yeah, so art by Tom Rainey, we get the original X Factor, which was the 05 when they launched X Factor, and then the new X Factor team.
This is just like the trading cards. And I want to say that's like the X-Men blue team, right?
Well, no.
No.
No, so no,
No.
because Cyclops and Beast are on blue, but Jean, Archangel, and Iceman were on gold.
Okay. Well,
No,
I'm getting nostalgia
this is the
overload.
original five. This is the first five,
Yeah.
students as they are now. And then, yeah, Strong Guy, Polaris, Havok, Multiple Man, and Wolfsbane. Quicksilver's missing from this team lineup, so I guess
Maybe
they
he's
don't.
just a fast blur in the back and we can't tell.
Yeah, maybe. What's interesting is that the Iceman slides, I didn't realize that they put supports in. I thought he just slid indefinitely.
Oh, maybe because they're posing for a photo.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They're very beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Beautifully done.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and then we have our very last
Oh.
bubbler at the back because it's a Game Genie ad. And so as a
Oh,
video game.
yes.
So our Game Genie was really cool
I
because
know all about
you
this.
could use cheat codes and like manipulate the game and have all
Oh,
sorts of
really?
fun. It says experience unlimited firepower, super jumps, start on any level, have infinite lives. You're the boss now.
Yo, video game dudes, Game Genie gives you the power to make your own rules and play your own way.
Use Game Genie's power codes on over 290 of the most popular games for the Nintendo Entertainment System, Super Mario Bros. 3,
Oh,
Teenage
yes.
Mutant Ninja Turtles
Oh,
2,
it's
the
so pretty.
arcade game.
So pretty.
Oh, Mega Man 3, one of my
Yes.
favorites. Crystalis and Battletoads.
Oh,
Wow,
Battletoads. And
Battletoads.
remember, real video dudes don't follow the rules. They make
Yes. All right. What a
them.
great way to close
Oh,
the
what a
issue.
wonderful issue to do.
So thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been great. A lot of fun. And, I learn a lot from you guys. I mean, your knowledge of all this stuff is fantastic. I mean, it
Thank
really
you.
is,
Thank you.
in
Well,
depth.
We can't wait to see your triumphant return on X-Men 97 next fall and see what Sinister is all about, because
yeah, me too. Well, I mean, I'll be interested to see you know, the whole context of the series, and hopefully maybe the next LA Comic Con a few of us will be there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Publicize the show and everything, you know. Yeah.
Yes. Would love
all
that.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, guys. It's been great.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you again.
Yeah, nice seeing you both again.
X-Reads theme music is provided by Hook Sounds.
Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be updated on when new episodes appear every first and third Wednesdays of the month.
Follow us on social media at X-Reads Podcast. That's the letter X, R-E-A-D-S Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.